Thank you for joining us on Life Matters today. When was the last time you felt really angry, like your blood was about to boil? How did the people around you respond? Did it help or did it just make you madder? Our guest today has plenty of experience dealing with aggressive people in emergency and crisis situations. Professor Ron Diamond is visiting Australia from the University of Wisconsin, where he's medical director of the Mental Health Centre of Dane County. He's here for the Mental Health Services Summer Forum. Hello. Welcome to Life Matters, Ron.
Thanks.
Very nice to meet you. Before we talk about some of the strategies to manage aggressive and angry people, can you just share with us some of the latest research that's been done in this area? Do we have more information available to us now? Now there are high-tech machines like brain imaging and that kind of thing?
There are. We actually know more about the neuroscience of anger. We know that the amygdala is the center part of that. We know that some people have more or less control over that. We know something about the kinds of things that will trigger it. We know some of the kindling that certain kinds of life experiences, especially when young, may make it more likely or more prone that you'll lose control of your anger later. We know something about the genetics of it, that some people tend to be more impulsive, and that seems to be impulsive, genetic. And that's not to say you can't overcome it, but just as we have different predilections with height or weight that we can then fight against or change a bit, anger is, or impulsivity or seeking of novel stimulation, in fact, has a significant amount of genetic and biological control over it.
Isn't that interesting? I know one of the areas you're speaking about at the Mental Health Services Forum is tackling aggression in crisis situations. Health workers at the front line have to deal with people who are often very angry and possibly irrational. Can you give us an example of that sort of situation? We've heard about nurses, for instance, who have to deal sometimes with very aggressive patients.
Well, think about the experience of somebody who's walked into a hospital emergency room, at least in the United States. They're brought in perhaps by police or by somebody and they don't want to be there. They're told to wait an hour before they see anyone, and then they're asked a set of questions by an intake worker. They're asked to wait another hour, and then they're done set another set of questions by a triage person. They're then waiting another hour without food or anything to drink, and they're asked the same set of questions by a junior doctor. And at this point, they explode and they become angry. Well, if in fact you understand the context of that, you understand that this is not an impulsive explosion, but something that's probably been developing, and there may be things that we could do way along the way to, in fact, decrease the likelihood of that in many of these situations.
I'm already nodding my head. I mean, I can see right there why somebody would become angry in that situation. So what are some of the common mistakes we make when we're confronted by a person who's angry?
Well, I think the first thing is to think what would make us angry. Anger is a natural phenomenon. We've all been angry at one point or another. We know what it is. We know that waiting, being frustrated, being lied to, not being listened to, all of these things are likely to engender anger in us. And they're likely to engender even more anger in somebody who is already hurting, already upset, already scared. So trying to decrease the kinds of things that would make us angry is a good point. The other issue is to not just consider it as this irrational thing that we immediately have to stop. Think about how you would like to be responded to if you were angry. Think about the absolute worst, terrible day you've ever had. Your supervisor at work criticizes you. Somebody else says you shouldn't be in your current job. You get a speeding ticket on the way home. You get a flat tire along the way. You can think about the absolute worst, terrible, very bad day you've had. And you walk into your home with your loving life partner there, and you try and ventilate out how terrible your day was. And he or she says, well, maybe the police officer had a point. You were speeding. This is not what you want. You don't want somebody to be rational and reasonable at that point. You want somebody to be on your side.
Yes.
You want to be listened to. You want to be heard. You want to be heard immediately. If your loving life partner says, I know you're really upset, but I have 20 minutes, I'm talking to my brother, that's also not going to help. And so if we think about anger as a natural phenomena and think what we would like if we were in that situation, we can begin to help people diffuse and get back in control when otherwise they're out of control. Very few people like being angry. I don't like being angry. When I'm angry, I don't enjoy myself. I'm not as creative. I feel out of control. And people in emergency situations also don't like being angry. Mm. So if we think what would make us angry and what would help us and what we want, then all of a sudden this irrational explosion that we find very unpredictable becomes much easier to manage and to think about.
Mm. So the key points, I heard you say them there, listen to the person who's angry, although that's sometimes hard to do, isn't it, if you think they're being completely irrational and out there. Actually listening and even paying them attention is sometimes demanding, isn't it?
Well, when I come home after a really terrible, very bad day, I'm probably also irrational and hard to pay attention to, and my wife does a pretty good job of it, and it calms me right down.
Mm.
So that we know how to do that. I'm not saying doing it forever. I'm not saying even necessarily agreeing with all particulars or all parts of the person's view of the world, but siding with them, listening, taking their experience as a serious thing. I think that's a good start.
Yes. By the way, is tiredness, does that contribute to anger? It's often an excuse given by angry people. Oh, I'm very tired.
Absolutely. If you think about your own life experience, being tired decreases your ability to cope, to be resilient. It makes you more impulsive. It makes it harder to figure out what's going on. In the same way, by the way, that some alcohol does, that being distracted by something that worries you do, there are a lot of things that decrease our resilience, and tiredness is certainly part of it. Now, how much that influences varies from one person to another. When you're tired, you may get not at all much angry, and when I get tired, I may get a lot more angry. So there are individual variabilities. But we know it does play a part.
Professor Ron Diamond is our guest at the moment here on Life Matters. What about when you're angry, having someone telling you to calm down? Does that work?
Well, let me ask you, when you're really angry and furious about something, if your loving life partner says calm down, does it work?
Probably not.
Probably not. There are times in when it does. I mean, if somebody you really trust and you really have an ongoing serious relationship says, okay, look, calm down for a second. There's a way in which they can use that relationship to help you regain control. And so to that extent, it clearly would. But there are times it's just further inflammatory. Mm. And I think one of the mistakes we make in medical settings, in mental health settings, is to take somebody who's angry and tell them to calm down when they don't want to be calm, they want to be listened to. And that usually doesn't help.
Mm. I think the problem with being approached by somebody who's angry is that it often ends up triggering anger in yourself, doesn't it? Even if you were perfectly calm before, suddenly you get caught up in the spiral of anger. How do you avoid getting into that loop?
Well, I think you make a very good point, and the first is to recognize it, to understand how I respond to anger, and each of us is going to be a bit different. So if my normal response to anger is to withdraw, or if my normal response to anger as a person is to be angry back or to attack back, or whatever my normal response is, as a professional, it is my job to understand and to realize that and to take my own pulse before I go into that situation, to monitor myself so that I'm not further escalating a situation that's already difficult. I also have to work to not be defensive. If somebody is complaining about this hospital that's kept me waiting for 3 hours and is absolutely incompetent and I'm employed by that hospital, I don't at that moment need to defend the hospital. I need to listen to what has happened. Many of us who fly have had the experience of waiting for airplanes or having been put in lines about one thing or another. And you can imagine how often we're being told to just wait. The plane will be there eventually. We know they're lying to us, and it just escalates things. If they would come out in a calm way, not be defensive about it, and say, you know, the hoojamajiki of the plane broke, and we're really upset about this, and it's going to take 3 hours.
And here's an orange juice.
And here's an orange juice. Yeah. Here's an orange juice. So the other part of this is, even if we can't completely address the thing that the person is angry about, acknowledging it, being real about it, not being defensive about it, and then doing what we can do. Giving the orange juice as a way of saying, I know I can't treat the main problem, but I can do something.
Mm, mm.
That helps a lot.
Yeah. Do you think, Ron, that today we're more easily aroused into a state of anger than in the past? There seems to be so many different forms of rage today. You know, traffic rage, parking rage, various urban rages. Is this more common, do you think, than in the past?
Well, I don't have any data. So when you say, is it, as an academic, I say, I don't have a clue.
Well, but just
as a
person, your observation.
I think that many of us are under more pressure. We allow less time to commute. There's more traffic on the road. We have higher expectations that I should be able to get from here to there without anybody getting in my way. And we've become less resilient and less tolerant. Now, on the other side, I think there are more and more people who have recognized this in their own life and are working to be centered, are working to get back in touch with their own central resiliency. There are more people who are either looking for meditative solutions or mindful solutions, or in fact are aware of how destructive this sense of frustration and anger is on them and are working to change it.
Mm. So you mentioned a couple of ways there of managing one's own anger. Can you suggest some more other ways to manage anger?
Well, something that's obvious and perhaps silly, but when I regularly work out 3 or 4 times a week, I find I'm more resilient. I'm less likely to fly off the hook.
When you say work out, you mean in a
physically,
gym?
Physically, in a gym, yes. I mean, that's something that when I get enough sleep, if I take care of myself, then I'm more resilient. And what we're talking about is not just not being angry. We're talking about how do I increase my resilienceness, my wellness. Mm. And as a psychiatrist, I don't know much about wellness or resilience. I'm an expert in mental illness. But as a person, many of us are increasingly interested in how do we not only not be ill, but how do we be well?
Mm. Is it unhealthy to suppress anger? Is it one of those emotions that you should always express?
I think it's neither one or the other. I think there are times in which it's really very inappropriate to just fly off the hook and let anything go. You can make the situations much worse. You can get yourself into trouble. And once you lose control and start becoming impulsive and yelling and screaming, it's hard to get back in control. At the same time, I'm not suggesting that you don't, with your friends, with your life partner in other venues, be in touch with what is annoying about your day, what you like about your day. There needs to be a way to express it. I'm not saying that at the moment anything always goes.
Mm. So we all need to become better listeners by the sounds of it.
Better listeners would help a lot.
Mm. Fascinating to talk to you. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for inviting me.
All the best to you. Professor Ron Diamond has been our guest. He's medical director of the Mental Health Center of Dane County at the University of Wisconsin. Coming up next here on Life Matters, we're going to hear about a unique campaign involving a 3D film to save the orangutans of Borneo.